Blog Talk Radio.
People get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among those loved the most. You know they've been loved the most. They've been loved the most. The hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. For there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. That's why I'm here to say that I believe. I believe we're gonna make it one day. Brothers, I believe. I believe. I believe. A true, true believe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Peace and blessings, peace and blessings. In the name of the all-wise, true, and living God, the architect of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between, we greet you with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, a program designed to keep you in mind that you may do as the gospel singer Hezekiah Walker or the sister group Mary Mary would sing, we need you to survive. This program is designed to prepare everyone in your family, including every capable man, woman, and child, to better prepare yourself for any emergency that you may be confronted with, knowing that there are a plethora of different type of disasters and calamities and the like that are happening as we speak. However, we will give you the basics, warning you to know that if you take one step toward preparation, as the U.S. military would say, proper prior planning prevents poor performance. If you take one step toward preparation, then those who are around you, if they do the same thing, and the Creator will take more steps toward you, that you'll be better prepared today than you were yesterday. I'm your co-host, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, along with our more deserving and capable co-host, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad,
yes,
on the line. And so at this time, I'll let Brother Rudolph bring in his welcoming. But before I do, let me just say this, brothers and sisters, that we are living at a time where time is of the essence. And it's more than just as we speak on the airwaves a little after 4 o'clock Eastern time, a little after 3 o'clock p.m. Central time. We're living at a critical and dark hour in the time of history. So it's critically important that we work together to unite as a family, as a community, as a nation, and as a global family, if you will, that we understand the time and what must be done. So on our program, for those of you who might be first-time listeners, we welcome you. We say open your eyes and tune your ears so you'll know what you see and understand what you hear. But we also will humbly suggest that you take notes, because there's quite a bit of information that we share in the 2 hours that we come before you every week. And so whether you have old school pad, pencil, or you have new school iPad, iPod, whatever your pleasure is in terms of a recording device, I humbly suggest that you have that nearby for the information that we'll share today, and hopefully every week, is something that you can use. News with views you can use, if you will. So without further ado, gives me great pleasure to bring before the mic our dear brother co-host, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir. Brother Rudolph,
thank you, sister. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, beloved. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother Yusuf. And beginning all things in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God, the God that is responsible for all that was, is, and will be, the Creator of all things, good and what we may consider not so good, but all things are good if God created them, because they were created for a purpose. It's our job to have patience and to learn what the purpose of God's creations are for. And this is why we are told to study nature, so that we can learn the lessons that we need to learn. But we thank him for appearing to us in the person of Master Farid Muhammad. And we thank him for traveling 9,000 miles to seek and save you and I that were lost here on the shores of North America. We thank him for raising one from our midst right here where I am in Black Bottoms, Detroit. And that one is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Risen Christ. Yes, I said the Risen Christ. He is not dead. There are those that think he's dead, but he is in fact alive and well and in control of whatever is going on now. And we thank the two of them for not leaving us comfortless in this day and time. They left us with a most perfect guide. They left us with the most perfect example of not just an FOI, but of a Muslim, of a man, in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So in those three great names, I greet the family of Muhammad in the greeting words of peace and a paradise of As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
And to those who are not familiar with that greeting, it simply means peace be unto you. But more so than that, what it really means is that you do not have to fear anything from my mouth or my hands, because I wish you nothing but peace. In this day and time, as Brother Yusuf talked about, this is a critical day and time that we're living in, and this is a time like there has never been on this planet. The scriptures tell us or describe, they give a vivid description of the time that we're living in. It says that there will be rumors of wars. Well, we have that. Nations are going to be against nations. We have that. It says that in that time that children, sons would be against their fathers, daughters would be against their mothers. We have that. We're looking at that now. What we have not seen yet is the blood up to the horse's bridle. But the wars and rumors of wars are definitely going on as we speak. Well, what does the scripture say would happen in that time? It says that in that time, I, God, will come. He didn't say he was sending a messenger, didn't say he was going to send a prophet, because prophets were here prior to this time, letting the people know what was to come. The messengers have all come and left the message of Almighty God. But the people were so hard, stiff-necked and rebellious that they did not heed the warning. So now God himself had to come and walk amongst men again in order to show and prove his power, and that he is the all-in-all and the eternal power, the only real entity in the world today. And so in this time, we know and we believe, I didn't say you believe, we believe that he is walking the earth, and we know that for a fact, because we know that the Jesus of the scripture is walking in our midst today. And that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That is, without the shadow of a doubt, the one who is making the lame to walk by God's permission. The one who is raising the mentally dead to life by God's permission. The one who is taking the gnat out of the tongue of the dumb and filling them with the wisdom and understanding of the actual facts or the knowledge, and causing them to speak wisdom by God's permission. This is a man of flesh and blood, but oh, so much more than that. This is a man who is so in tune with his creator that he can think a thought and a physical manifestation will happen. And so, you know, I'll stop with that right there, Brother Yusuf, and I'll just welcome everyone to another edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Now, Brother Yusuf, I understand you're at the Carl Holmes Institute this week, correct?
Yes, sir, Brother Rudolph. Thank you, brother, for welcoming us to the program this week. Laying down the spiritual component, which in connecting the dots, this is all about connecting the dots, mind, body, and soul, disaster awareness for community preparedness. We know that on this program, our consistent and constant listeners know we talk about everything here, from flu to health and fitness, from viruses to vaccines, from fire safety education to community risk reduction. So this week, I'm blessed to be amongst 300 brothers and sisters from all over the world, mostly from the continental U.S., some from the Caribbean, some from Ghana, who have joined us this week on the beautiful campus of Dillard University in the wonderful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, at the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, which was founded in 1991. So we have over 28 years of experience. As I like to say, a lot of people shedded their blood, sweat, and tears. A lot of people shifted gears. A lot of people face their fears, that we might be here at the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, where firefighter personnel, men and women, come together to sharpen their tools in their toolbox, if you will, as it relates to leadership and management. We will be, Lord willing, interviewing those who are given the opportunity, because classes are going on actually as we speak. So when they get a break or staff come through, we'll interview whoever would like to be a part of it, just to share all of the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that and love that we've experienced, not just this week, but that we do it throughout the year in terms of communication, and we do it annually here on the campus. I'm joined right now by my dear brother, Brother Osiemi Adelebu, who is the former president. I believe you were the fifth president. Is that right, Brother Oshie?
Yes, that is correct.
Brother Oshie was the fifth president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. I was blessed to be the eighth, so I'm standing on his shoulders. This is a very strong man, a very beautiful human being who, in my opinion, was an integral part of making the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters truly international, where he was responsible for connecting chapters and individuals in the Caribbean, in Ghana, and in the United Kingdom. He's also a co-host of a radio, blog talk radio program entitled African Perspectives, where, amongst other things, I'll let him explain to you the basis of his show. However, we are eternally grateful because he advertised our show, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, every time he broadcasts his show. So without further ado, I welcome Brother Osiemi Adelebu. Brother, the floor is yours. And I mean, if you can just tell the people a little bit about your background and then, more importantly, your experience here at EDI, we are eternally grateful that you would carve out a piece of your time to be a part of our listening audience this time. Brother Osiemi.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And if you view your listening audience, excuse me, my name is Osiemi Adelebu. I'm a City of Milwaukee firefighter. Kind of battling something here, but please forgive me. Firefighter with 31 years, and I retired back in 07 and moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where I reside now. I've been doing a radio program, African Perspectives, on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. My program deals with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I believe there's no other discussion. Everything else is moot. In fact, I don't even engage in conversation with other brothers and sisters about whether or not we should be independent and sovereign, because to me, that's ludicrous. The only thing we need to discuss is, how did we achieve it? How can we really make that happen in our lifetime or in a lifetime of our grandchildren, children to come? I've been involved here at EDI almost since its inception. We started out in 1991 at FAMU, Florida A&M University, and we did 5 years. It's a five-year program, and so we did the first 5 years at FAMU, and I remember Brother Muhammad coming down observing. Were you in one of the classes at FAMU?
No, sir. I didn't enter until 2002. It had been moved to Dillard University by that time.
Right. And so we're at FAMU, and we've had EDI, Executive Development Institute, on a campus of historically American African college and universities, so we can help them and also to help ourselves. And to me, it is a beautiful program. In fact, we had a convention in 92, and that's where I first met Brother Yusuf Muhammad in Milwaukee, and we were talking about EDI. In 94, we were here in New Orleans, and I've never been more proud of our organization than at that time, because the U.S. Fire Administration was here in New Orleans at our convention to buy our EDI program. Understand, brothers and sisters, we never had no money. We ain't got no money then. We ain't got no money now. But we understood the importance of the program and the impact that it would make in the fire service. And so we didn't sell out. And now, 27 years later, this program has provided upward mobility and positions for brothers and sisters to take advantage of in the fire service across this country and literally around the world. So I'm very proud of Dr. Carl Holmes, all of the brothers and sisters who administer the EDI program, who are students in the EDI program, and who are instructors in the EDI program. It has proven to be a valuable component for brothers and sisters for upward mobility. And actually how it started was because of how everything else starts. We've been excluded. It was a hard time for us to get into the National Fire Service, the National Fire Academy in Emmitsburg. We were being excluded. And so Dr. Carl Holmes and other like-minded brothers in the fire service, giant men in the fire service, got together and developed the program, developed the curriculum. And so we owe them men and women a great debt of gratitude for having the fortitude and the stick-to-itiveness to make it happen and to happen for us. We have this year over 220 students, and then when you put in the staff, well over 270 of us this campus for this weekend. And today is the last day. Today is the graduation day. And they have over 40 young men and women who are graduating in what we call modulars, Mod 5, of a 5-year program. And it's a beautiful thing, and I really am proud to be a part of it. I'm very proud of what me and Brother Yusuf Muhammad and Brother Brent Burton, the captain in the Los Angeles Fire Department, what we do for EDI as instructors. On the very first day of the very first class, in the morning, we lay the history of our people, the history of us in the fire service, and the museum, an outstanding American African Firefighter Museum in Los Angeles. We talk about that. We instill the pride into them and helping to understand that you stand on the shoulders of many others. You just didn't get here by yourself. Even though you're here to get the knowledge for your upper mobility, but it's also important that you reach back and to help others. So I'm very proud of what we do, and we've been doing it now for about 12 years or more.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I look forward to it each year. So I'm happy to be a part of this, and I look forward to, and hopefully maybe some of you will listen to my program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Just go to timeforanawakening.com on your computer, or if you have TuneIn, which is a free radio app, go to Time for an Awakening. But if you just want to call, you can dial the number 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. 9832. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Oshie. We thank Almighty God Allah for you, brother, for your contribution to the upliftment of black people, both locally, regionally, nationally, and Pan-African, international. I know, Brother Rudolph, if in fact you have a question for Brother Oshie, the floor is now yours, beloved.
Oh, no, sir. He was crystal clear on who he is and what his mission is and what his vision is. Crystal clear. I would like him to give, once again, the information on how someone can tune in to his show.
Thank you, Brother Rudolph. Thank you very much. Once again,
yes, sir.
The program that I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, how you can access African Perspectives, my program. One way is online. Go to Time for an Awakening, timeforanawakening.com. We're also part of the Black Talk Radio Network, which is now the number one American African podcast in the country. Number one. But you can also listen via the phone line at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. But if you want to listen on your mobile device, your cell phone or tablet, go to the radio app TuneIn, TuneIn.com. And make sure you get the free app because they'll try to make you pay. But make sure you get the free app. And then once you get it, put in the search, Time for an Awakening. And make it a favor. And then every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you go to TuneIn and you hit that Time for an Awakening icon and you can listen to the program. Very easy to do. Thank you so much.
No, we thank you, Brother Oshi. Brothers and sisters, you've been listening to Oshi Adelebu, former president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, and also the host of African Perspectives, a radio program that we encourage you to tune into as he encourages his listening audience to tune into our program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. As we
enter
the bottom of the hour at 3:25 Central Time, I almost missed the show, Brother Rudolph, coming on. I'm thinking I'm still in the East. I'm in the Central, and I know 3 o'clock here is 4 o'clock there. I apologize, Sister Yvette, and our engineers, and while I'm on that point, allow us to give congratulations to Black Hole Radio LLC for all that they do, for allowing us the opportunity to come on every week and to share that which has been revealed to us, share that which has been revealed on our screen that we might share with you, our listening audience. Again, we're broadcasting from the wonderful campus of Dillard University in New Orleans, Louisiana, at the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. And as I mentioned earlier, since the first class in 1991, there have been over 1,200 Black and Latino firefighters from around the nation and abroad that have attended this institute. Hundreds of students have successfully completed the program's five-year, 300-hour requirement, with many having been promoted to fire chiefs and other key fire service administrative and leadership positions. Here at EDI, the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, students, alumni, administrators, faculty, and staff have enjoyed the fraternal atmosphere as well, created by working toward a common goal and sharing experiences, wisdom, solutions, and successes with one another. So, indeed, many who step on this campus for this program feel blessed from the opportunity, from the moment they step foot on it, and it just gets better with time. Brother Oshi and I just got finished addressing about 70 young brothers, students in an educational camp program. And it was just such a beauty to address the body of young brothers from the ages of about 10 through 14. And we're looking at developing additional programs with that particular educational camp program. We worked on another initiative yesterday in trying to solidify getting education and training to the fire service over in Ghana and other areas throughout the world. So there's constant movement. Brother Rudolph, just like in Islam, we affectionately say that really are no big eyes and no little U's, even though people might hold particular titles, fire chiefs, and every other rank in the fire service. You know, we believe here that whether you wear badges, bars, bugles, and stars, that's just what you've been able to achieve. That's not really who we are. And so we just want to be brothers to our sisters, sisters to our brothers. And on that note, you know Sister Tracy Lewis, FDNY out of Brooklyn. She's actually graduating from the program. She's actually graduating
from the program in about a couple of hours, brother. And
is
so
that
we're
right?
Proud of her. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yes,
maybe,
sir.
Once she gets out of class, maybe we can. Well, I know she'll be busy. Once she gets out of class, she's going to have to run and transform and get ready for the banquet. But if she has a moment just to give you the greetings, if nothing else, and have you congratulate her, what a blessing.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Will be.
Man, that's
yeah,
my old
yeah.
partner. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Lieutenant Tracy Lewis out of FDNY. We were
man,
proud
oh,
of
man, I'm proud of that sister.
And that's something beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, for the listeners to understand, so the listeners can just understand, you know, the exuberance in my voice, because again, think about somebody who is, you know, new, that comes on the job new, and you get a chance to work with them to help mold them and keep them in a positive environment, because let's just be honest, there's always negativity around, always, and
right.
especially in the
Resist.
Job, in the type of job that we do. You know, not everybody that's out there is out there for the same reason, even though the nature of the job is what it is. And so, but to get someone like Tracy who came on the job with that gung-ho spirit, I want to learn, teach me this, why can't we do this, never taking no for an answer. If they say we can't do this, let's find a way to get around it, you know, to know that she's graduating now and that she's a lieutenant in the fire service, especially as a Black woman in
That's
the
right.
FDNY, that in itself was a hurdle and a trial, I know, for her and Regina and the rest of the sisters. And when
That's
I say
right.
sisters, I'm talking women in general with
mm-hmm.
the FDNY, just women in general. But
mm-hmm.
they fought. They never took no for an answer. They organized. They and here's the thing, to understand, people, nobody gave them a thing. They earned everything they got, every bit of recognition they get. They have earned it because they're not mediocre by far. They hold their own, standing toe-to-toe with the next brother that's on that line, that's carrying that hose, that's going into that building, walking down that long, dark hallway. They hold their own. So nobody's given them anything. They are masters at what they do, and they have perfected their craft, and they deserve every bit of respect from everybody on the job and off the job. So I just wanted to put that out there, Brother Yusuf.
You're right on it. You're right on it, Brother Rudolph. Brother Oshie's here shaking his head on every statement that you're making, and I'm sure there's some things that's coming to his mind as he's listening to you. So, Brother Oshie, if you'd like to expound on anything or elaborate on anything or the importance of Black women in the fire service, I'm going to see if I can go next door and get Sister Tracy.
Yes, well, sir, please.
I've known Sister Tracy for many years. She is a sister who is involved with the organization, with the Vulcan Society of
yes,
New
sir.
York. Almost
That's
since
right.
inception. I've seen her at conventions. I've seen her at conferences. This sister is dedicated and committed to helping other sisters and our people.
That's
you know,
right.
In our communities that they serve. So I'm shaking my head at every point that you made, dear Brother Rudolph, because you're on point about this dear sister. She is somebody who commands respect and deserves respect.
Yes, sir.
In fact, when I saw her, I said, that is a very dignified woman. You know?
That's right.
She carries herself.
That's right.
Yeah, she's a very, she carries herself
she carries
in a very
herself,
way.
She carries herself with the utmost dignity, and she dignifies whomever she comes into contact with.
Yes. And she helped organize some women who are here. I think there's about 40 women here from across the country who are here for this training. 40, yeah, from various, from Tacoma, Washington, to Miami, Florida, to from Los Angeles, and of course to New York City, and there those places in between. And so at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to our good brother, Brother Muhammad, because he has a special guest.
What a blessing it is to have this special guest. She's so humble, but I wanted to make the connection. I'm pulling her out of the classroom, and
she
doesn't have to say anything. But Brother Rudolph, we got our dear sister, Sister Tracy. Sister Tracy
Norris,
Lieutenant for FDNY. We know who she is, but could you just let our listening audience know just a little bit about on the job, your experience here at EDI, and then I'm sure Brother Rudolph, if he could, you know, kind of jump through the phone and give you kisses and hugs. But here
we go.
We got our dear sister, Sister Tracy Lewis.
Yes.
Rudy Muhammad, how are you?
Sis, Tracy, it's good to hear your voice. I'm well, thank God. I'm in Detroit, you know, still doing the same thing, and I see that you are still doing the same thing, and I was just telling the listeners a little something about you, you know, from day one, when you showed up on the ambulance, you know, hazmat, EMT, now lieutenant. Oh, man, I'm proud of you, Trace. I'm proud, and I know that Mac would be proud of you, too.
Yes, thank you so much. You know, I'm just sorry that, you know, he's not here to see all of this, because I do miss him.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
But,
yes.
I know I haven't spoken.
Go ahead. I'm going to be quiet. You go ahead and talk.
I know that I haven't spoken to you in a while. I haven't seen you in a while. I wasn't even sure if you were still in New York City.
No, I'm in Detroit now, and I've been here since 2016. I come back from my World Trade Center physical, teach a class here and there, but for the most part, Detroit is in the same situation that New York City was in back in the 80s. And so I felt that it was best for me to come here and bring what I can here, so because I know that it worked in New York. So I know it can work here. I just have to be the one this time to actually be spearheading it and not helping.
Okay. And that's what you've always done. As long as I've known you, that is what you've always done.
But it's good to hear. Tell us. Tell the listeners. Let the listeners know, you know, about Tracy Lewis. Who is Tracy Lewis?
Okay. Yeah, I know. You always like to put me on the spot. Well, I'm definitely a work in progress. You know, as you and I have talked about since I've met you, you and I were working together on the ambulance, and I had said to you, I'm definitely going to go to suppression and, you know, try and definitely move up that way. And I'm still doing that. You know, I'm a lieutenant now, and I'm studying for captain, and, you know, God willing, I'll be promoted to captain. And, you know, if you know, he sees it fit for me to move up, hopefully I'll retire as battalion chief. So those are the things I'm working on now. And, you know, in doing so, I'm still continuing to help those people, especially all those young ladies who have no direction, to help, you know, to take them along with you. And I always tell them, like, you know, the only thing I ask of you is that, being that, you know, we helped you to get to where you are, you do that for the people who are coming after you.
That's right.
You know, as I met a few ladies, you know, going to school here at, you know, Dillard University, and it was basically the same thing I said to them as we learned in one of our classes. You know, you definitely have to get mentors, because mentors are really what's going to help you get to where you need to be. They don't necessarily have to be in your profession, but you do need them. So, you know, here at EDI, I definitely have those people. So I do my networking while I'm here, while I'm at home. And that's one of the, you know, one of the same things that I tried to explain to these three young ladies that I just met 2 days ago, who even said that they will definitely be attending the graduation, our graduation ceremony this year.
Wow. Wow. Oh, man, this is beautiful. But you definitely are one that definitely deserves it. And I know you worked very hard for it and will continue to work hard. And as you said, we need mentors at every level, but you definitely have to be a mentor because you have the right spirit, you have the knowledge, and you definitely know what it's like and what it's about. And there are many young girls out there who can benefit from your experiences, your energy, and your knowledge. So keep it
absolutely
going.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, Brother Yusuf, you can go ahead and interview her now and ask what you want to ask. I appreciate the fact that you let me have this time with my former partner, and I'm going to be quiet now.
Yeah, no, I got a box of tissues for her, and I'm sure you use a box of tissues as well. So y'all go ahead. She's in class. I don't want to really take her out of class too much longer. If she has something to say in terms of a closing statement, we certainly want to give her that opportunity. But I just want
and
to
just get
invitation.
A commitment from her that at a later time we can get her on the line exclusively so that we can focus on helping to get the message out to other young women out there about the fire service internationally.
Yes, I would definitely be willing to do that. Just let me know, you know, when you want to do that, and I will make myself available for that.
Well, we thank you, Sister Lieutenant Tracy Lewis, out of FDNY, graduate of the 2019 EDI Module 5. All that I am, I owe. I live eternally
right.
In the red. That's our mantra. So we're going to let
yes,
you
sir.
Go back. Thank you so much. Can you do me a favor, maybe when time permits, before you close out, ask Chief Mick if he would come over here? All right, good. Thank you. Thank you. What a beautiful interaction between mentor and mentee. All I do is just
Man.
Hold the phone. That's all I do.
Man.
Thank you, Mr. Tracy. May God continue to bless you. All right. So I know Brother Oshi, he's right here with us, and, you know, he's like that third voice. He's the voice of wisdom, you know,
yes,
amongst
sir.
The three of us. So I know something came to his mind, so we want to give him an opportunity if
oh,
that
yes,
be his desire to add on to the dialogue.
I know that as an organization of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, we have advocated on behalf of women getting into the fire service, particularly our sisters, because we know in the fire service probably one of the most racist occupations that there is, that they did not want us on the job. Because of the unique working arrangements where you work and you live in the firehouse.
Right.
And they wanted
right.
to keep that job as something that was definitely for them and something that they had control of, you see. But because of court orders and so forth, we began to come into the fire service in some numbers. But unfortunately, those court orders are gone, and they have reverted back to hiring like they did in the 50s, in the
That's
60s.
Right.
So now you have a city that may be 40, 50, 60% us or higher, but yet the fire service on the entry level is, you know, 80, 90% Caucasian male. Now, in the promotional rank, this program that we have here at Dillard University, the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, has reaped big rewards. One gentleman we're going to introduce, he is a chief of a small fire department in Illinois. And we've had brothers. In fact, we have a sister who is here as well, and she's second in command in the city of Chicago. So we have, our program have reaped tremendous benefits, but yet now we must fight again that our young people in these major cities can access this occupation, and that is serious, and we must do that because without it happening, it's like taxation without representation. These are public works jobs. The taxes of the citizens pay for that service, and if it is 60% us, then we should have a decent percentage of those people on the job. So I want to thank you, the listeners.
Thanks again, Brother Oshi. Brother Rudolph, we've been joined by another black woman in the fire service. I mean, she's one of the hardest working women this side of the Mississippi River, let me tell you, brothers and sisters. And it's not about, you know, it's about a labor of love, the way this sister works here at the Carl Holmes, Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. We have various divisions here on the campus, whether it be the instructors, whether it be transportation, logistics. But she's also has a career in the fire service in Chicago. So I'd like to welcome to our listeners here at Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, our dear sister, Sister Silvery Mitchell, who will, I just ask her to introduce herself and maybe share a little bit about her career in Chicago as well as her experience here at EDI. So welcome to the microphones, Sister Silvery Mitchell. Thank you for being with us, Queen.
You're welcome. My name is Silvery Mitchell, and I am a captain or was a captain on the Chicago Fire Department. I retired August of last year after 31 years of service. My career was wonderful. I couldn't ask for a better career. I joined the department not really expecting to have, how should I say, not really expecting to enjoy the department, not really expecting to feel the way I felt about it, but it's been a wonderful career, and I have loved it, and I am also part of the Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. I graduated from this program in 2004. The following year, I joined logistics, and I have been serving in this capacity ever since. I look forward to it. I love the people that I work with. I love the camaraderie. I also love the networking. Any place, any city that I want to go to, I pretty much know a firefighter there or someone who has and been involved with the EDI. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful career. I just urge anyone of our black people, you know, to seek out this career. It's a wonderful career, and you can't ask for anything better. The pay is wonderful, and, you know, it's just something that we don't really think about, but we should. And I just really want everybody to just go out there and just encourage your young people to take this exam and get on this department.
Thank you, Sister Silvery. Brother Rudolph, would you have a question or comment for our dear sister?
Yes, to both. One, I would just ask that when we do that show with Tracy, that we can get you on also, sis, so that we can really concentrate our efforts to do a real good, hard recruitment push for our people to get into the fire service. And you being there in Chicago, you know, most people, they only know what they know of Chicago from the movies and from TV. But being one that has lived in Chicago on the north side, on the south side, and on the west side, people don't realize how diverse the city of Chicago is, but also how tough the city of Chicago is. And so I know it wasn't an easy road for you in that male that white male dominated field, but also that city. So we know you have a lot to offer, and we just want to
provide a place for you to give it. And the main thing is we just have to realize if we want anything in this lifetime, we're going to have to take it. No one's going to give us anything of substance. We have to put our minds together and create opportunities for ourselves and our people, and we don't have to ask anybody's permission to do it. God has already blessed us with everything we need in the family to do it. We just have to decide that we have more in common than a variance. That's all I wanted to say. And congratulations on your retirement. But we know black people don't retire. You just move on to another stage in life.
This
Brother
is
Houston.
True. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sister Silvery. Brothers and sisters, we've been listening to Sister Silvery Mitchell, retired captain out of the Chicago Fire Department. Yeah, you know we don't retire. We just retread, get back on the road and
that's
do what
right.
we do. So we thank Almighty God for not only Sister Silvery, and I'm sure she will avail herself if time and circumstance permits, along with Sister Tracy Lewis out of FDNY, and maybe we can just do a show on, you know, black women in the fire service and let them share their rich experience of not only their accomplishments, but, you know, the obstacles that they had to turn into opportunities and the adversities they had to turn into advantage and the trials they had to turn into triumph. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness as we move toward the top of the hour. I happen to be on the campus of Dillard University at the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, where there are over 220 fire service personnel, everyone from EMS to DHS, EMS meaning the Emergency Medical Services to DHS meaning the Department of Homeland Security, this week where everyone was engaged in various topics that they would sharpen their tools to put in their toolbox, if you will, to prepare them for upward mobility in the fire service. So we're just grateful for this opportunity that we annually come here and have the opportunity to, you know, interview those who are walking the halls this week of Dillard University, more importantly, getting their education on, if you will. And so I will await the next student staff to walk by, but you know, Brother Rudolph, if there's something else on your plate until we get the next guest, feel free to share that with our listening audience. I will say this, and I might have mentioned it briefly last week, but that in the month of May, well, there's a couple of things I want to say, chronologically speaking. In the month of May, in terms of climactic conditions, there were over 525 noted tornadoes in the United States of America, where historically speaking, according to the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, otherwise known as NOAA, usually in the month of May, there are about 225 tornadoes during that month, but there have been 500, over 500. And so, as you said in your opening, Brother Rudolph, Almighty God, Allah is trying to tell us something. You know, one of the classes I just went to prior to coming in the studio, if you will, was brothers from Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, on the EMS side were sharing their experience of when the tornado in 2012 ripped up Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and they showed the video at that time. And he said the tornado was a mile wide on the ground, and it traveled for about 50 miles. And so, you know, yeah, that was then, this is now, and I don't have it in front of me, but for those who
can get access to the Final Call newspaper, either the hard copy or the online edition. It speaks to the destruction and disasters and the divine judgment that we're now in. So I wanted to share that, number one. And number two, for those of us who just experienced the 30-day holy month of Ramadan, I neglected in saying Eid Mubarak. Many blessings to all of you and your families, right, during this month. So I certainly wanted to put that on the airwaves on our program as well. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir. You know, now we're going to keep this train rolling on this same track. You know, as you know as well as I know, in this particular field, and especially me coming out of FDNY in New York City, where things are always different in New York, historically, EMS has always been in the fire service, historically. New York City, the different animal that it is, I had the pleasure of being on the transition team when Thomas Von Essen, the former commissioner, when he was at the helm and responsible for the merging of New York City EMS into the fire service. And on both sides, there were those hardliners who didn't want to see the change, didn't want to see the merger, wouldn't do anything to help it go right, just simply wanted to keep things status quo as they were. The one thing that any intelligent person really knows is that everything must change. Now, we know all change isn't necessarily good, but everything is going to change. The intelligent people embrace and welcome the change and put their heads together to figure out how to make the transition as painless as possible and what benefits can come from the transition. And so
can I stop you right there, Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because when you talk about transitioning, we've been joined by Brother Chief Mick Smith out of, I really don't even know the municipality he's the chief over at this point, because he's moving at such a meteorite type of speed, brother. I'm telling you, brother, he's moving faster than the speed of light. But this is a man who can speak to transitioning. Of course, you know, he too has certain trials, tribulations in front of him, but he's been able, I mean, he's a beautiful example of a product of the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, because this young man is 36 years old, and he's the chief of a department in the suburbs of Chicago. But he came through, and, you know, I guess he can show me better than I can tell you. So I want to bring before our listening audience here on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, I know him as Brother Chief Mick Smith, and he'll take it from there. Brother, welcome, first of all. You know I love you.
Absolutely.
You know I love you deeply. This brother is just a beautiful brother from the very moment that we met one another, that I met him. And so if you could just share just your rise into the fire service and where you are now and the importance of your experience here at the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. First, I'd like to say thank you both for having me on the radio show. I really, truly appreciate it. Like Brother Muhammad said, I'm 36, I'm right outside of Chicago, actually. My community is the village of Riverdale. We actually butt right up to Chicago on this far south border. I was brought in as the deputy chief on January 22nd, and our chief decided to resign. And just last week, I was made appointed the fire chief. Previous to that, I was the fire chief of a small community outside southern suburbs of Chicago, the village of Phoenix. And I also was a full-time deputy chief for the village of Robbins. I'm a legacy firefighter. Both my parents were firefighters. So I've been involved with the job, and I've seen the struggles as a young boy dealing with it. All of the communities that I've worked for have all been predominantly African-American, but there's only been one department that I've actually worked for that was predominantly African-American. So I understand the struggles and the constant fight that we have with people to try to maintain or try to include new brothers and sisters into this job. I started at Carl Holmes in 2010 as a student, and that was my first time being introduced to anything remotely close to this. I had gone to classes back home where I was the only face that looked like mine. I was surrounded by my Caucasian counterparts, and it wasn't a stressful situation for me because I believed I should have been there. I can understand how it could be stressful for people when it's an intimidating factor to be the only person there. You don't know who to trust. You don't know who to talk to. You don't know which way to go. And with that being said, coming to Carl Holmes and being able to meet people like Joseph Muhammad and Ocean Delibu and, you know, Nick Russell and all of these people from across the country, Bob Demons, Dr. Carl Holmes, Sherman Carthage, some of the most spectacular men and women that I've ever met in this world when it comes to the fire service are all down here, and they're all promoting and they're all pushing the same progress of self-love and to create and continue to involve our youth in the fire service. It's very hard when we have children that when somebody gets off of a truck or get out of a police car, they never look like them. It's very hard for our children to have a level of trust or to have a level of understanding or be able to relate to those people because we know that they haven't walked in the shoes. Very few of them have walked in the shoes that we've had to walk in. So I'm just proud of the EDI and Carl Holmes and this entire process because it's given people an opportunity to come here and see that when you go back home, you can be that pillar of understanding for the children and for members of your department, letting them know there is an alternative situation that you can be in. There are alternative things that you can do besides just the National Fire Academy or besides just taking state classes where you're not, the instructor don't look like you and none of the students do. You can get the same quality of learning. You can get the same passion. You can get the same thing there as you do here. So EDI is unbelievable. And anybody that has the opportunity to come should come because I guarantee that they will not regret their decision. It's an investment, but it's an investment in self, and it gives you the ability to be back, to be able to go back and invest into someone else.
Brother Rudolph, you have any questions for Brother Chief Mick Smith, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm going to address you with your title because I know you've earned it, and I want to respect you. So, Brother Chief, you know, can you speak to, you know, everyone that's listening and just give them some more insight into how it is trying to make that transition and trying to bring change into an area that historically has been one way, but because of nature and time, it has to change, but the components of it and the participants in it don't necessarily want to change.
I'm going to say it like this too, Brother Rudolph, because these are the words of, and very seldom, every now and then I'll quote somebody that's not of our ilk. However, the president of the International Association of Firefighters, I believe his name is Harold Shakesberger, he said the fire service is all male, all pale.
Him saying that is totally correct. I think the way that we change that, and this is just me speaking from a personal, strictly my personal opinion, I think it's a three-pronged attack. We have to start in a political forum, because I truly believe that those political powerhouses are the ones that are able to drive that change. You know, the processes start in politics. Those mayors, those trustees and aldermen, those senators, state senators, U.S. senators, we have got to start voting people that have our best interests at heart in. All right. The second thing is, once we get that, I think that we have to start putting some qualified African-American male and female fire chiefs in this position to be able to bring that diversity back. Because right now the fire service is not diverse. Just like Brother Muhammad said, it's pale and it's all male, okay? We have got to bring diversity, and people who don't have diverse minds are not going to be diverse people. And the third prong is we got to be able to take back our neighborhoods. It's so many kids that we have to pass on inside of the fire service because they have ambitions on doing other things, meaning they think they can go play basketball. Well, there's only 12 people on each team. 32 teams, that's only a couple hundred people in the NBA. Or they want to become, you know, some type of entertainment artist, you know, rap star, movie star. We have to let them know that there are jobs back at home in your community that can get you that same kind of notoriety and respect as those people who are standing on stage and shooting those baskets are doing. And I think that is community focused. And I think that if we can hit that with that three-pronged attack, we can start to see that climate change. We can start to see the environment change. I think that we can start to see the dynamics of this fire service start to become much more equitable. The word now is everybody wants to be equal. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want you to be equal because you've been treating me unfair for so long. Treat me equal ain't going to get me to where I need to be. I want you to treat me equitable. I want you to give me what you need to give me to get in the same position as you. And once our people stop.
Chief, I'm sorry, Chief. Can you say that again, please?
I said that right now everybody's pushing for equality, and I don't want equality. They've treated us bad for so long that even if they treat us equal now, we're still never going to be able to catch up. I want them to be equitable. I want them to give us what we need to get them to where they're at. And then you can start to be equal. You can't be equal until you become equitable first. And for your listeners, just to give an analogy on what I mean by being equitable, if I have a fence that's 5 feet high and I have a person that's 4 feet, I have a person that's 6 feet, and I have a person in the wheelchair. To be equal is to give all of them one box that's 1 foot high to be able to stand on. But is that fair? No, because the person that's 6 foot already could see over. The person that's 4 foot still can't see over. And the person in the wheelchair will never be able to see over. I want you to be equitable. I want to give that person that's 6 foot nothing, give that person that's 4 foot two boxes to be able to see, and give that person in the wheelchair a ramp. That's how you're equitable. That's how you create fairness.
Go ahead.
That's how you get everybody on the same level playing field. So I don't want equality. They can keep their equality. I want equitability. That's what I want them to be. I want them to be equitable. I want the fire service to become equitable. I want our communities to be treated in an equitable manner.
Well, Brother Yusuf.
Sir. Yes, sir.
It sounds like, now this is just me talking, but it sounded like a political statement right there, and that sounded like somebody that needed to be on that political in order to change the laws up top that will funnel down for the rest of us down here. That's what that sounded like to me.
Well, our brother, like I said, from the moment I met him, brother, he's been on, God has blessed him to be on a meteor type upward mobility, and there's no telling where God is going to lead our brother. But, I mean, to be 36 years old and to hold chief officer's position in the fire service is an accomplishment in and of itself of great magnitude.
Yes, sir.
Brother Rudolph, you know, you and I, we're about the same size, about 6'3", 250 pounds of, you know, steel and spiritual appeal. But this chief here,
yes,
is a
sir.
Young man. He's very imposing physically, brother, and he got so much gold piping on his sleeves and gold badges and gold buttons, brother. I need sunglasses, brother, to be this close, in close proximity to him, brother. But we thank God for him, and we know that he's been busy, brother. I can bear witness, brothers and sisters, on the line. He's been teaching class all week. He's been teaching class for the last 2 hours. So we don't want to keep him any longer. We're preparing for the graduation, as we had our dear sister, Sister Tracy, Lieutenant Tracy Lewis on earlier. So we're all preparing for that. But I want to give him an opportunity, Brother Chief Mick Smith, if he has any closing statements, to do
yes,
so
sir.
Now and want to thank him for the time that he sacrificed for our show, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Brother
yes,
Chief
sir.
Mick.
Well, the first thing I would like to do is thank both of you guys for allowing me to speak to your audience. It's great to have great men like Brother Rudolph, Brother Muhammad, that are able to give a voice to the voiceless. A lot of times that's something that we overlook. We just assume that everybody is listening. I truly enjoy this. I think that you guys have a great program going, and I wish you nothing but success. To all of your listeners, I would just say that I would hope that when we go back out into our communities, because that's where it has to start, that we would take a look at it and see what we can do to improve it. It's always easy to ask for a handout, but it's much easier to show that we're already doing the work. So I hope to continue to work towards making it better for the next person. I got children. I got a boy, and I got a little girl, and I want to make sure that I'm leaving this world better than what I found it when I came, the same way that my parents
yes,
did for me. So I truly appreciate the opportunity to speak to everybody. I wish you all love and success, and I hope to speak with you again.
Wow.
Well, we thank you once again, Brother Chief. Mick Smith, love you, bro. May God continue to bless you, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do you see anybody else in the hallway, brother, that's, you know, time and circumstance and miss? I still have a few more moments before I transform for the graduation. Thank you, sir. Oh, yeah, no problem. Brothers and sisters, once again, we're at 4:13 Central Standard Time, 5:13 Eastern Standard Time on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. So I wanted to take advantage of that time, Brother Rudolph, and I'm
yes,
sure
sir.
You've been enriched by Brother Mick Smith, but I know you were making a point prior to him coming in the studio. So if you want to pick up where you left off, the floor is yours, beloved.
Oh, yes, sir. All I was saying was that, you know, it takes, as Brother said, it takes people with an open mind and a progressive mind in order to make change in an atmosphere or an arena where change is not wanted. And again, it's not something, like you said, that you ask for. You have to go out and make it happen. And you do that by, one, bringing that spirit of change with you, and, of course, by, you know, getting all the strength that you can from the elders and your creator, but then also by having that dogged spirit where you're not going to take no for an answer. You are going to do this because it needs to be done, and you're going to do it because you understand and realize that you've been blessed with a skill to make it happen, and you owe. As you said, the model, we are eternally in the red. So there is no paying it back. It's paying it forward. And as he said, we have to leave the world better for our children than it was when we got here. So, you know, people can best understand other people's situations if they can walk in their shoes. And, you know, being one who went to, I went to firefighting school at the Philadelphia Shipyard back in the 80s. And I was a firefighter on board a ship in the Navy. I was too old to become a firefighter in New York City when I came home. And so I ended up in the EMS division, which, again, there's no regrets for me. I don't mind it because that's where the Creator wanted me to be at. And so, again, I understand the culture, the history of the fire service, and so I was glad that I was able to help Brother Kevin Lightsey, who was the president of Local 2507 at the time, the first black president of EMS, the EMS union, and I was glad I was able to be on the transition team with him, and we worked and got it done despite having to deal with opposition on both sides. And so now someone like Tracy Lewis, who comes into the job, is a beneficiary of that because she comes into the EMS Bureau, she works her time in the EMS Bureau, and then takes her promotional exam, and then she's able to get into the fire service and is still of age to be able to get in there and make a difference. And as an instructor, to be able to, you know, teach someone and then watch them take off, there's no better feeling in the world than to watch someone that you have been blessed to be able to help mentor take this thing further than you could take it. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there to all of us that are in this realm. We may not understand sometimes the role that we really have as being the elders now in this thing because we were the youth for so long. So making this transition into the elder role where the elders for council and the youth for war, you know, we just have to thank Almighty God Allah that he's blessed us to still be here and in our right frame of mind, and we just have to work from can't see morning to can't see night to get all of our inspiration, all of our knowledge, all of our experience into one. And if we can get it into one, then we can take a sigh of relief and breathe. Because remember in the scripture it said, Jesus forsook the 99 to go after the one that was lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got 99, who really would leave 99 of anything to go after one that you lost? Most people would just cut their losses and say, okay, I lost that one, but I got this. But not knowing what's inside of each individual on the planet, you never know who that one is. So if you can get that one, then that one may be instrumental in getting 1,000.
In listening to you, Brother Rudolph, it reminds me of who you are, your father, Commander James Robinson, and shout out to him, who is the founder of the Bed-Stuy Volunteer Ambulance Corps, in which you are that legacy. And, I mean,
yes,
it
sir.
Was men like your father and men like Dr. Carl Holmes, who,
that's right,
if I was to attach a theme to them, it would be courage under fire. Those men exemplified courage under fire. Dr. Carl Holmes was a assistant fire chief, a consultant, a lecturer, former executive director of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, and again started EDI, Executive Development Institute, in 1991. The concept he proposed was to prepare future blacks in the fire and emergency medical service leaders by having black instructors deliver course material in the areas of expertise or assigned areas of management. This was a result of denied equal opportunities encountered by black applicants to the National Fire Academy and other cutting-edge leadership and management programs. The focus of this program's curriculum was and is to develop future fire department officers through material and presentations that address unique conceptual, diagnostic, and human skills overlooked in most fire department management training programs. The final design of the Institute was that courses were to be delivered using a module concept, whereas students convene once a year over a five-year period for a five-day intense educational experience. Recently, optional sixth module was added to the curriculum. This graduate-level component analyzes a range of issues in contemporary management that have significant impact on the future development of the fire service profession. The EDI concept has proven to be a great success. The program's existence, enrollment, and curriculum have continued to flourish while being recognized as a leading fire service educational institution, and that's courage under fire. And so, again, I've been opportunity to be an observer first here since its inception, and then a student graduating in 2007, and then an institution until now. So here we are, brothers and sisters, at 4:22 p.m. I don't know if you have any questions for me, Brother Rudolph, or if you would like to venture into another subject. Certainly we have about 40 minutes before we close up. However, I will be at the bottom of the hour because of the circumstances I'm involved in. So the floor is now yours, Brother Rudolph.
No, yes, I do have a question for you, because what most people may not realize is that you were not just, or are not just, another firefighter that was out there. You were a lieutenant, an officer in the fire service, who had spent many years in the fire service, and so you understand better than most the challenges that have to be faced, or that will be faced, by those that come in working in diverse communities and with diverse populations. But how did you, how were you able to keep your focus all of those years and not get so frustrated with the things that you saw and witnessed and experienced, and just give it up for an easier job? Can you hear me? Hello? Can anybody hear me?